Come here, there are many people trying to lose weight, and for many people, it's an uphill battle because, let's face it, it is just really hard to shed those pounds. But what if you could do it by living like a hibernating animal? Well, a chap called Cian Foley is sitting in here right now with Dermot and Dave on Today FM. He once weighed 18 and a half stone, was morbidly obese 5 years ago, has battled with obesity all his life. He is now a svelte, muscly 12 stone and two-time European and world champion amateur kettlebell lifting champion. And he did it all by doing a special winter diet. How are you, Cian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Thanks for coming. Did you come up from Waterford today?
Yeah, I drove up from Waterford today.
Okay, go mind yourself.
I have to just say for our listeners, you are an absolute ride. So how did you get into this shape?
He says that to all the guests.
So what is the... Because your thing is called Don't Eat for Winter.
Yeah. So it's basically, right, in nature, if you look at the foods that are available in nature, if you look out the windows right now... Try and find me a spud in the field or an apple on a tree. They just don't exist at this time of the year.
Right.
So they're really autumnal-based foods, you know. So if you think of grains, potatoes, all that kind of stuff.
So starchy, sugary foods.
Starchy, sugary foods only exist in the autumn time, essentially, right? So if you look at what we've done in modern society, we've got all these foods available at all times.
Yeah.
But not only that, we've also refined them so that all the fibre has gone out of foods, all the nutrients are gone out of foods. So what we've done is we've created an eternal autumn on steroids, the way I put it.
So right. The idea is that if we were more like our animal ancestors, then we would be storing up in the autumn with those kind of heavy, starchy foods, sugary foods.
Exactly.
With the idea that we would probably be sleeping for a lot of it.
For a lot of it, exactly. So these foods are a trigger for storage. So when you eat sugary foods, starchy foods, they release glucose into your bloodstream, and the response for that is insulin, an insulin response.
Mm.
And insulin puts your body into storage mode, so you start storing nutrients. And it's no coincidence that today there's so many people suffering with pancreas issues and all sorts of health issues because we're overloading our system constantly. Mm. With these sugary and starchy foods.
Well, take us back, 18 and a half stone. How did you feel when you were that weight?
Terrible. I was talking to my wife on the way up. I said, one of the worst things about being overweight was trying to tie my shoelaces. I know it's something really simple, but I used to lean over and I actually couldn't breathe when I was tying my laces.
Right.
So I actually had Converse there at the moment without the laces at the time.
And did people think you were overweight?
Yeah, they did. My mother was always getting on to me, and sure, Nicola was saying you should be trying to get healthy and things like that, you know.
This is your missus?
Nicola, she's outside actually, but
okay.
I didn't understand food at that stage. I was playing squash, I was quite active, but I was still putting on the weight over years and years.
So it was your diet rather than you weren't inactive, you weren't sitting around, like you were out doing stuff, but you were eating more than you were expending.
Exactly, and eating the wrong types of food, you know, and that's the key thing, like that. Our diets, they're implementing things like sugar taxes at the moment, and they're all very helpful, but they don't seem to be kind of looking at it from a holistic point of view that things like potatoes have a massive sugar response in your body.
Tax a potato. People take it to the streets.
Exactly, yeah, but I don't think they should be taxing anything. It's education is the key to these things.
So what changed for you then? How did you get started on this winter diet?
Yeah, so with the kettlebells, I had to get into an ideal weight category in order to be competitive, because if I'm up against guys who are 100 kilos and they're 6'4", huge guys, I don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So I started looking at it from a goal point of view, getting lighter to fit into my exact category, you know. So I started researching the diet at that point, and I found that the lower carb diets always seem to work best for me, you know. But I was training, and the weight wasn't coming off, and I tried various different diets. And I just started looking at it from a kind of a cerebral point of view. My background is in IT, and I'm a researcher. I used to work in the TSSG in Waterford in WIT.
Okay, so the spreadsheets came out.
The spreadsheets came out, and I put in the GI of all the foods, the glycemic index of foods.
Yeah,
which is kind of their sugar content, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. So the harvest in their optimal month over the year. And it showed on a graph a massive bell curve appearing in September and October. And then it kind of became clear to me that it's these insulin-inducing foods are causing this trigger.
Okay,
harvest time. People talk about harvest time, but that's when you should be eating your sugary foods.
Exactly, and the other thing as well, the combination of foods in winter time starts mimicking baby milk. I know this has gone off a bit.
Oh, it's interesting,
but,
yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. But if you think about the food that's going to make a person, a human being, as hardy as possible in the shortest space of time as possible, it's baby milk, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that the nutrient ratio of that is 50% fat, 40% carbs, and 10% protein. And if you look at what happens in winter time or in autumn time, the carbs come up and the fats come up, and with nuts and carbs, and so that ratio starts tending towards that. Whereas in springtime, it's tending more towards a bodybuilder's diet, you know, where they carb cycle and do all this kind of stuff.
And so, do you break this down not only just over a year, but into your daily diet then?
Yeah, exactly. So the way I see it nowadays, we have all these foods available at all times.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be feasible for us to just chuck out potatoes and chuck out grains and everything in springtime. It's not going to happen. So what I do is I break down my foods seasonally on a daily basis. So I start my morning as spring, my lunchtime is summer, and the evening time then is autumn time, where I start carving up.
What would you have in the mornings then?
So the mornings could have eggs and rashers, or eggs and salmon, or could have avocados and walnuts, or if in a hurry you might have protein and protein shake with peanut butter or something like that.
Yeah.
But I stay light on the carbs first thing in the morning.
Okay.
If I was training in the morning, I'd flip it around a bit, because I need the sugar energy for weight training or for high intensity cardio training. You know?
Okay, so then lunch?
Lunch then I'd have a lean protein then, and add some carbs in. It might be carrots, or it might be even berries or strawberries, something like that. And then in the evening time, then I load up then on the carbs. So I might have before training oats and berries in a something like overnight oats type thing with Greek yogurt, that kind of stuff. And then after training, then I'd have more protein. But then in the evening after, you know, the nighttime meal then would be maybe a big lump of meat and.
See, when you say like you know, you said evening time, I'm going to load up. I was like, grand! Now I can order Domino's in the evening time. Like, no, you're just like overnight oats and some blueberries. I'm like, oh, for God's sake!
Yeah, and then he goes training, and then he has some more protein after that. Then
I mean, the protein is obviously my training for the kettlebells is quite intense, so I need fuel for recovery. So I mean, if it was lighter training, you wouldn't need that much protein.
Well, yeah, for your average person, say, if you're listening, you're kind of going, okay, this sounds like something I can do. They don't need to load for a massive expenditure of energy.
Yes.
So you would treat it, as you said, so it's, what is it in the morning, springtime?
Spring is morning, summer is in your lunchtime, and then autumn is the evening time.
And then just winter, so winter, like, because it's winter, the book is called Don't Eat for Winter. Yeah. So do you literally, like, okay, you
but
don't...
there's no food available in winter anyway, so right. You can't eat.
So that doesn't mean that you spend from October to January not eating. You
no,
just mean you're
exactly.
just using it across your day.
Across the day, yeah. So I'm not eating carby foods all the time.
Okay.
I'm precisely eating carb foods. So if you look at the body's requirements for carbs, if you're sitting at your desk, most people sit at their desks and work off their desk all day. Mm. They might do a bit of training, a bit of activity in the evening time. But the basic requirement for sugar energy during your day mostly is your brain has a requirement for it, which is about 420 calories a day. And then your body, that actually uses 60% of the carb requirement of your body. So, and only another 40% is required from sugar.
Right.
So if you look at that, then you're looking at maybe 700-800 calories worth of sugar a day. But most people will be eating maybe twice that, you know, because they're having maybe a breakfast roll in the morning, they're having some sort of a sandwich for lunch, they're having pasta or rice or potatoes.
Don't forget the Mars bar with a cup of tea as well.
And then a bit of fruit or whatever, but it adds up over the day, and they're having over 1,000 calories worth of calories.
Yeah.
And they're not doing any training. So if you are training, then after it, you need to supplement as well, you know?
Right.
What carb do you miss most now that you've kind of changed your diet? So when you were 18 stone, what was your treat that you would kind of miss now these days?
I don't miss anything, because when you take out the noise of sugar out of your diet, the other food starts becoming so much more appealing. Like, and when you eat, you actually nearly get giddy thinking about the nutrients that you're getting from it. And you can actually hear things like, if I had salmon one day, the next day I wouldn't be in the mood for it. And it's your body telling you that you have the nutrients that you need from that.
Okay.
So now it's time to eat something different, you know. But if I had sugary stuff, I wouldn't know what. Wouldn't I just keep wanting to eat, you know?
And so Nicola is your better half.
Yes.
There's lots of pictures of you in the book and on the website and stuff with this ripped body, ripped six pack.
Yeah.
How does she think that the modern you compares to the 5 years ago you?
Well, that's the thing with Nicola. She loved me when I was a big guy, you know, and she always was there. So she's delighted, obviously. It's a bonus, I guess, now.
Yeah.
But she's actually in fantastic shape herself. She trains she does a lot of circuit training and weights as well.
Say she has to, in fairness, being around you.
Now, isn't it also true, on another note, that you are responsible for Keith Barry being married to his wife, who's your sister?
Oh, right.
And what did you say at a disco?
No, Keith said it to me. He says, hey, Keane. want to shift. I want to shift your sister or something. Like, or, you know what I'm saying? Can I go off your sister? Can I go off with you? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
You gave the approval.
He hung around me for 3 years, right?
Just
in college, we met each other in second. Well, just in sixth standard, say. And he hung around me for 3 years, and I reckon all he was doing was trying to get me sister.
Well, they're married now, so it worked out in the end.
And if you ever bring it up at like a Christmas dinner, and he just hits you in the forehead and goes, and sleep. Argument over.
He doesn't need to do that. He just throws a Jack Daniels.
Cian Foley's book, Don't Eat for Winter, is out. Can people buy this now, or can they get it from the website?
It's on don'teatforwinter.com.
So don'teatforwinter.com is the website to track it down.
Yeah.
Fair play to you. It's a good success story, and you know, you've done all this. Obviously, put a lot of work into this, a lot of research over the last while.
That's it. And like, I mean, at the moment, there's a massive crisis out there with obesity, and if it helps in that in some small way, it'll be brilliant. You know, I mean, the facts at the moment are saying that our statistics are that it's 3 times a bigger killer than malnutrition. So we've created this eternal autumn. Mm. And we've caused more problems through solving world hunger than we have. So it's really just about addressing that issue as much as anything else. You know,
fair play to you. Cian Foley, Don't Eat for Winter is the book. Thanks for dropping into us.